hearing is change of zone number 1900, Michael P. Justice, trustee.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, contains 16.1 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Parker House Road, approximately 0.35 miles south of Beaver Dam Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 16, Parcel 51. Staff would note for the record, submitted were a site plan and exhibit book comments from DelDOT and comments from the Sussex Conservation District, and we also have one letter in opposition to the application. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Christian Berry, oh no, there, well, there we go. You were hiding behind the podium.
Didn't mean to be hiding, but
all right.
For the record, my name is John Sergovic. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown with a law firm that starts with my name and a couple of others. Mostly you see Ms. Carmine here instead of me, but every once in a while I have to get out in the public.
You have to keep your skills up.
That's right, exactly. And we represent Michael Justice, and he owns this property as a trustee and also with some kind of an IRA account, but it's Michael Justice. He's the applicant. I'm not going to spend a lot of time speaking as an attorney, because although this is a change of zone application, it really is a design application, because we are zone GR. The way to get enhanced design for a GR subdivision is to go with an RPC, because we don't have the cluster option in the GR district that you have in the AR1 district. So in essence, this application is the application of the cluster division, but you have to overlay it with the RPC. And the GR district, the purpose is to have medium density uses, and the comprehensive plan in addressing a coastal area development goes to the same litany that Mr. Fuqua did, and I don't want to repeat the same things that everybody hears all the time, but basically the GR purpose is for medium density. Medium density, particularly under the AR1 cluster option, gives you 7,500 square feet lots with advanced land use design, so you trade off a couple of 2,000 or so square feet on the lot size so you can enhance your open areas and your forested buffers and what have you. So this application is essentially a land design application, although it has to be couched in terms of comprehensive land use compliance. And we have a booklet, and you've all seen all of our written materials, so I don't want to spend a lot of time going over things that are already written in the booklet. But at tab 4 of our booklet, it outlines the chapter 4 of the coastal area, and it says, why the coastal area is a growth area, additional considerations should be taken into account in this area that may not apply to other growth areas. Permitted uses, coastal areas or areas that can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. A range of housing types should be permitted, including single family, townhouses, multifamily units. The criteria is mostly, do we have central water and central sewer? Yes, we do. So that is one of the main considerations for any enhanced density. And the comprehensive plan specifically addresses that RPCs are encouraged to allow for a mixed use of housing types and to preserve open space and natural area resources. So that is what this application is all about, is we're what? Enhanced preservation of open spaces and natural areas resources. And one of the primary considerations is infrastructure, is central water and sewer are strongly encouraged, and that's what we have to enhance that type of development. And so rather than treat this as a major land use change in zone application, the considerations for the commission are mostly addressed by Ken Christianberry from Axion Engineering, because most of the issues are what is the enhanced land use that we get through the RPC overlay in the GR district. And we do have some restrictive covenants. My client's committed to non-manufactured home development, so the restrictions we have are either stick-built or modular homes. We do have minimum areas, which may be reduced a little bit because of the builder that we're in negotiations with. I think I currently have it as 1,800 square feet minimum for single family. We may have to drop that down to 1,600 because of the nature of the housing market, because it's mostly a retirement area. And Mr. Christianberry will explain how this use is compatible with existing development, both density-wise, and also that there are some potential issues with a drainage area that has maybe 5,000 square feet of wetlands, but our wetlands expert is not here today because he doesn't have the final report from the Corps of Engineers. With that said, I'll turn it over to Ken, and he can go through the other portions of the booklet that are relevant.
Good evening, Ken Christianberry with Axiom Engineering. Do I have the mouse? Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am. Evergreen RPC is a single family detached 45 unit development. That is, which document do we have open here? That's just the site plan. Do we have the book?
Yep. Go down. All the way at the left.
Okay, thanks. All right. I don't know, we gave both an iPad version and a paper version. I wasn't sure if any of you prefer to work in the paper, but the tabs that are in the book have been duplicated in the iPad version, so you should be able to see it if you look at all the different pages. For instance, that's tab one, refers to both the book. In tab one, it's our executive summary, and it includes this exhibit here to give you an idea of the context of the project. When you look at the context, this is familiar to most of us. It's the Bear Trap Dunes Golf Course and community that's now in the town of Ocean View. This construction here is the expansion of Silverwoods. Silverwoods Phase 1 abuts us, and they have a density of 2.64 dwelling units per acre. The rest of Silverwoods is now being developed under a town ordinance with what is likely to end up being significantly more density, because it has a mix of almost 10 acres of multifamily, 17 acres of mixed use and assisted living facility and commercial, and then 70 acres of single family. But that's not quite adjacent to us. Between the rest of Silverwoods and the subject property is Plantation Park. And then we abut Ocean Air, which was developed several decades ago. And then Kensington Park is a short drive down Parker House Road. We are directly across the street from some state land that is being preserved. The densities in this area, starting from least dense to most, is Silverwoods Phase 1 is at 2.64, Ocean Air is at 2.74. This application is for 2.82. Plantation Park has 2.97, and Kensington Park has 3.02. So I think it's pretty clear that this is in character with what the area surrounding the property already has. From the zoning map, you can see that before this was annexed into the city, all this was already zoned as GR lands. As a matter of fact, it had a platted subdivision for a trailer park that never got constructed. Many of these lands are mobile home parks that are nearby. There is a commercial property that does abut a corner of us that is actually also owned by the applicant. But most of the area is GR, except for the land being preserved by the state of Delaware. Tab 3 is the actual site plan itself. So we'll just zip past the application and the deeds. The project has a single access from Parker House Road that then tees off into two roads that end with turnarounds. There are walking trails around the open space. There's a sidewalk on one side of the road. DelDOT's plus comments were noncommittal about the paved shared use path. They either want a contribution made so they can use those funds for other multimodal paths, or they may ask us to actually build it. That decision hasn't yet been made by the department, so there may or may not be a shared use path running along Parker House Road. There's not any that are adjacent or nearby, so I'm not sure which path DelDOT's gonna take. In the center of the project is, of course, our stormwater management area, and we do have a perimeter buffer that has been increased in several areas above and beyond the 20-foot typical major subdivision forest buffer. This area behind these lots here, a lot of existing forest is going to stand. This strip of woods here is about 40 to 50 feet wide instead of 20. And then down here, we do have just 20 because we are intending to do some drainage improvements. There were two letters in the file from neighbors that are concerned about drainage. This part of the county does tend to have a shallower water table, so drainage problems are a little more common. There's an existing ditch here and here, and neither appear to be well maintained. Neither is subject to tax ditch easements or other maintenance agreements. So the plans that we brought to the Corps of Engineers for now include improving the ditch on the applicant's property to the greatest extent that it can be. We would prefer, if any neighbors were to be open to granting an easement, to construct improvements down the existing ditch, which would, of course, require at least a temporary construction easement to access other properties to enhance the drainage as much as possible. But we can't assume at the outset of a public hearing that folks want that to happen on their land. So we are going to do the best we can with whatever opportunities we have. The project is going to have a gazebo, some park benches, and some fairly modest passive recreation type of amenities, because it's not a large project. It is 45 units. I think, you know, golf courses and swimming pools are great, but when you have a modest project, the amenities are kept in line with that. Tab 5 covers the Chapter 99 subdivision code requirements. If there's any specific ones that the commissioners are particularly interested in, I'm sure these are all very familiar, and I've given these explanations before, but I will give a few minimum use of wetlands and floodplains. Wetlands are limited, based on our wetland scientist investigation, to the area in and around the existing ditch on the southern edge of the property. We do have 1.45 acres of existing forest that's going to be preserved, and 0.62 acres of planted forest buffers. 39% of the site will be owned by the HOA as open space at the end of this project. The actual breakout of that open space is detailed in the site data table at tab 3. Provision for water supply. Tidewater Utilities has a CPCM for the area. We will have, at the developer's expense, a water main extension to the property from their existing infrastructure, which is about a quarter mile north of the property. And that, of course, expense is borne by the developer. County already has a sewer manhole at the frontage of the property. for erosion and sediment control. We have best management practices mandated by the Sussex Conservation District. Obviously, we're going to have dull-out requirements required for transportation. The effect on area property values, as I shared before, the area zone GR, we abut mobile home parks on several sides. There is a restriction included in the conditions, and as an RPC, you may impose conditions that would not allow for manufactured housing in the development. So it would be limited to modular and stick-built construction only. So in that case, I think the effect on area property values will be to pull them up. Preservation and conservation of farmland. If you look back at that aerial photo in tab one, you can see that really there's no farmland left in this area. It's slowly been becoming residential, I believe, since the 1970s when the zoning map was drawn up and the area was mapped out as GR. Effect on area schools is intended to be, or is expected to be rather, very positive in that the market for this part of the county is largely retirees and second homes. So the number of students living in these 45 homes is expected to be very modest compared to the real estate taxes paid by the residents in the development. Compatibility with other land uses. Again, we are surrounded by, I've already listed off the densities. We have a few that are slightly less dense and a few that are slightly more dense that either abut or a very short distance from the application. And then the effect on area waterways. To get into the effect on the area waterways, I do want to show a little bit of the work that we've proposed with the wetland scientist as far as what's happening with the ditches. The property, near the property line, is an existing ditch. Actually, let me go to tab 10 because I caught my client in the ditch, so it gives you a pretty good idea of how deep the ditch is. It's not huge, but it is fairly well defined. It could use some maintenance, some removal of some vegetation, and as we would probably try to go as far downstream as we could acquire any easements that would allow us to. This is the outfall for the property. It has been historically, and the intent is that any of those areas that are improved, that are regulated, that impact permit is required to be submitted to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And if, our wetland scientist found no state jurisdiction wetlands. I believe he's going to have that verified by them. And we should have back more detailed reports by the time we get to County Council next month. But the intent is to basically clean out this ditch where we can on the property and then parallel it on our own property with an expansion of the ditch that doesn't involve any encroachment in the neighboring properties. I do think as an engineer, the drainage improvements would be significantly better if there were an interest of other property owners to cooperate in granting an easement of some kind. But again, we understand we can't compel, and you all can't compel anyone to participate in those kind of improvements. But this plan has been submitted, I believe, by the wetland scientist to the Army Corps of Engineers. Part of the reason we got the wetlands work done early, of course you all want to see it as well, but the state maps, in the plus comments, there were a lot of questions about all the impacts to the wetlands. The state maps show about 80% of the property as wetlands, and the state maps, for any of you who've looked at applications as long as I have, probably recognize the state maps are notoriously inaccurate. They're based on a statewide flyover, satellite imagery, things of that nature. No one from the state set foot on this property and determined that there were wetlands there. So when they write their plus comments, they write a plethora of comments based on that non-site-specific statewide data. The actual investigation that was completed, I was going to get down to the wetland scientist's letter, is provided in tab 13, and this gives his information about investigating the soils, the vegetation, and the hydrology on the property to see what criteria were or were not met in the actual field conditions.
Can I just interject?
Certainly.
A question. The state strategies put this in level 4, is that correct?
They put it in level 3.
I'm sorry.
You go back to the plus comments section, and they said why they did it, or they said the reviewer at the state planning office, you'll notice that orange is level 2, yellow is level 3. We're surrounded by level 3, and we're level 2, which is a little bit strange. The gray is the preserved state land. In our plus comments, which are right after the map, the black text is the state comment, the red text is our response to the same. And they open up their letter with, the proposed development is located within an investment level 3 area, which is more than likely present because of the wetlands on the site. Again, the wetlands that were derived from a statewide satellite or aerial photographic image review that wasn't field verified. So when the ground truthing indicated that the wetlands on the property were extremely limited to less than a tenth of an acre, the reality is that the property probably should be, according to the state planning office, this comment, property should have been mapped as level 2.
Yeah, I just wanted, you reversed the 2. This state says it's level 3 because they're...
Because of wetlands that aren't there.
Their overview of wetlands said it's...
It's
a wet property when the actual field investigation indicates that it's in the same orange area that's totally surrounds it. Also, there's one other thing with respect to the compliance with the comprehensive land use map. There's a reference that it's near major sources of commercial development and or major intersections. Is this town center adjoining us the
John's referring to this area
right
in here. This is the area that's been annexed into the town of Ocean View, and the parts of it that front on Beaver Dam Road, sorry, if you get back to the mic, the parts of that property that front on Beaver Dam Road do include commercial zoning and multifamily zoning. The area that's closer to us is the single family area of that mixed use plan community. When I pulled the record plan, the commercial and multifamily were not planned out yet. They were blocked out and an acreage and land use was defined, and that's all that's been recorded to date. And the developers are presently selling single family homes, I believe, or they've certainly been working on the infrastructure for quite a while. So we are near commercial there. Again, the applicant owns a property here that's zoned commercial that has some commercial tenant space available and some small commercial activities there. So there is a mix of commercial uses in the area, but it is predominantly medium density residential. Again, due to the county zoning the entire area as GR, I believe probably when the maps were first published, about the time I was born, I believe. Water and sewer utility availability are laid out and documented in tab. Let's see here. Pardon me. Tab 8. We included a soil map. We discussed a little bit about the stormwater management and floodplain approach. We have the public map that shows the wetlands that were mapped by the state. And then we have our draft wetland impact permit, the study letter from the wetland scientist. And then Mr. Sergovic has prepared draft covenants and restrictions, and then our proposed findings of fact and proposed conditions of approval published in the back of the book in tab 15. Are there any conditions that you think, besides the restriction on manufactured housing, that should be brought to the attention of the commission as additional? I think that's probably a big part of it.
The commission wanted to put a minimum housing size in around 1600 would be compatible with the marketing that my client anticipates.
We, Mr. Jervy, we typically don't do that just because if it's, you know, a permitted use and building code compliant, and we don't get in. And the other thing is, it's just that's really hard for the county to police.
Okay. I was just throwing it out.
No, understood.
And also, we have proposed sidewalks on one side of the street, which should be a condition. We should have overhead street lighting, which should be a condition.
It's condition P.
Yeah, it's already in there.
It is.
But anyway, you do have the conditions of approval that you can look over, and you can and if you want to add anything to that that's reasonable for this kind of, again, this application, although it is a change of zone application, it really is a design application. It's more like a standard subdivision with a cluster option.
What John means by that specifically is GR allows for 10,000 square foot lots that are 70 foot wide, and in a RPC you can reduce lot width, setbacks, and minimum lot areas. And so we are essentially mimicking what the AR1 cluster tends to look like, but we can't do that as a cluster subdivision because the property's not zoned AR. It does net a density of just under 3 units per acre, which we believe to be very reasonable given the GR underlying zoning for the property. And that closes our presentation. If you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions.
Before we close off, Mr. Justice, as the applicant, do you concur with the statements of facts provided by your agents, myself, and Ken Christenberg?
You stand in a hole, by the way.
Sorry, yeah. He's a lot bigger than I am.
Justice, for the record, we need you to put your name on the record for us, please.
I'm Michael Justice. I'm the property owner.
Thank you, sir.
And okay. Do you concur with this statements made by Ken and myself on your behalf?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All righty. That's all we need. Okay, we'll see if anyone has any questions, and we're going to start with Mr. Mears.
I don't think I have any, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so thank you, Ms. Wingate.
I was confused about the wetlands to begin with, but I'm assuming there's a backup plan if the property owners, the neighbors, aren't willing to negotiate anything that you can disperse of the stormwater.
Our permits are based on no off-site easements. So the backup plan would be we can make it better if folks want to cooperate. But we are assuming sort of the worst case scenario that nobody trusts us. Everybody thinks us digging a ditch is a bad idea and nobody wants to work with us. So we're pursuing permits without that cooperation. My professional opinion, those permits would benefit not only my client, but everyone else who lives there tremendously more if there were cooperation. But again, you never know how folks feel about somebody bringing a piece of equipment in their backyard. So.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Certainly.
My only question is, what was that place? I was out looking at it today, and my husband and I were having a debate about whether it used to be a borrow pit. So that's all.
Mike, do you have any history you cared over?
No. Okay, just curious. That's all. Okay.
It's a piece of dirt.
Wanted to win an argument, but.
Well.
Dwight, no, for me, next.
I have none. Thank you. Okay.
None, thank you.
Okay,
none for me, thank you.
All right, then. Well, thank you. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1900, Michael P. Justice, trustee? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1900? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Good evening. I'm not saying I'm entirely opposition of this.
Okay.
I haven't looked at the site plan today.
For the record,
please.
We
need your name first.
Norman Welsh, property owner, Silverwoods. It abuts right next to.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
And I'm not saying I'm opposed to the site plan, there are some concerns I have because. I had actually submitted comments yesterday that because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be here.
Okay.
Now that I'm here, I'd like to read them.
Okay. You're welcome.
My purpose for being here is to alert the commission regarding previous water management issues related to the Justice parcel and request that Sussex County Planning and Zoning, Mr. Justice, Plantation Park, which is an abutted property, and other State Department agents will jointly ensure that appropriate water management systems required by Delaware and Sussex County regulations will be designed, reviewed, approved, and constructed and maintained to prevent flooding on the adjacent and abutted residential properties. It should be noted that based on previous previous conversation with Mr. Justice, who I haven't really personally met yet, and his proposed actions and discussions to date, it seemed like he's being a responsible developer and intends to take the correct action and do the right thing. Just for some background, my wife and I own a vacation home, it's not our primary residence, in the Silverwoods Phase 1 development, which abuts the Justice parcel, now subject to rezoning. When we settled on the house in January 2008, the Justice parcel was mostly a wooded area of mature trees. In subsequent years, most of the trees were clear-cut, leaving approximately a 20-yard buffer of trees behind our house and a few of our neighbors and the Justice parcel. During 2016 and 17, the Justice parcel was cleared further, and tons of dirt were trucked in and dumped across the entire parcel. This effectively resulted in the ground being elevated above that in the buffer zones behind our houses, forming a slope onto our properties. The significant rains in 2018 and spring of 19 caused severe flooding in an area on the Justice parcel behind our abutted properties, which drained onto my and neighboring properties due to stormwater runoff from the elevated Justice parcel. It forced us, at considerable cost, personal cost, to have our lots regraded and drain tiled installed. Despite this, our crawl space, my crawl space, was submerged in a foot of water several times, which also we had to pay for to have remediated. Essentially, our properties have become a sump area for the runoff from the Justice parcel. In March 2019, some workers began pumping the water that was on the Justice parcel to an area away from the buffer of trees behind our properties. And our flooding problem on my property and Mr. Maternick's property seemed to disappear in hours from the pumping operation. I called and spoke with Mr. Justice, who indicated he was developing the property for residential use, and the drainage problem was further exacerbated by Plantation Park landowners who had dammed up a drainage ditch leading to and through their property. He indicated that he had surveyors coming in a week or so, and the water was being pumped away from the flooded area to permit the surveyors to do their work. He indicated he was willing to put in a drainage ditch and impoundment to catch runoff, but that Plantation Park should be forced to tie into that ditch. A week or so later, on April 19, 2019, my neighbor, Steve Maternick, who is here, who is a permanent resident of Silverwoods, talked with the engineers from Axiom Engineering, who were marking off in his property lines and my property lines to determine the extent of the problem and how the stormwater runoff from the Justice parcel could possibly be resolved. Approximately a month ago, November 2019, Mr. Maternick told me that Mr. Justice visited our properties personally and that they had a chance to discuss the water problem. In that discussion, Mr. Justice indicated to Mr. Maternick that he was going to construct a ditch and a runoff collection pond towards the southern side of the Justice parcel. As I indicated earlier, I first looked at the site plan, which is up there now, today. And what you can see is that this is my property right here. At the present time, this area here is about probably 40 feet or 50 feet of trees that were not cleared during the clear cut. And based on this site plan, and you've got to understand that this property, the parcel that's being rezoned, is elevated now. It's above our property. His proposal, as I understand it, is to put in a drainage ditch that abuts right up against our property line that removes, as far as I understand it, removes all the trees from roughly here, which is Mr. Maternick's property, all the way up through about here, which cleans out all the trees, but does probably serve a useful purpose in draining water. Problem still exists with Plantation Park, which has dammed that ditch to keep water from flowing as it normally would. The other problem seems to be, this is a road that dead ends right here, right next to Mr. Maternick's property, and again, this is elevated. And what I want to make sure of is that we have some agreement on, number one, I'm not entirely satisfied that I want a 10-foot wide drainage ditch abutting right up against my house is 10 feet from this property line. That means I have a drainage ditch 10 feet behind my house. And without proper screening or the buffer here, I'm going to be looking out from my sunroom onto houses, a drainage ditch, and road, which is not really conducive to what I'm interested in. So I'm willing to work with the development of the site plan and contribute whatever I can to help in that regard, but I just want to air my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve Maternick, and I live in the Silver Woods community at 37249 Brenda Lane, which is located immediately adjacent to the subject property owned by Michael Justice at the northwest corner boundary. And I have to apologize, my ears are all clogged up, so I can't hear myself. So, my wife and I purchased our lot in Silver Woods in 2007, and our home was completed in February of 2010. I became a full-time resident in September of 2016. As it pertains to the proposed development of the Evergreen RPC community, I would like to state right off the bat, as Mr. Welsh just did, that overall, I am not against developing the property.
Okay.
I am not against the development in concept. However, I do have some concerns, some of which have just been expressed by Mr. Welsh, about drainage and flooding potential, as well as the lack of a buffer along our property line. And if you look, there's forested buffer along every single stretch of every other property except Norm's and my house. What he proposes so far is to put a road that ends right about where our house sunroom is looking out, and put an easement or hopes that we grant an easement where a drainage ditch could be put in where I can look out my window at the drainage ditch. I have to tell you, I have reviewed the entire package, the paperless package for this project. I've noticed about the road ending right up to our property line and the forested buffer would be removed. I know that in the plus comments from the state, that they made a statement in there about the fact that this development will cause potentially additional flooding due to outdated, meaning impervious coverage on this property. A bit of background regarding the flooding that Norm spoke about and that I'm going to speak about right now is that when we bought our lot in 2007, the subject property for this application was covered by a mature forest. The property was cleared again sometime around 2000 and was cleared in 2009 when we were starting to build our home, and then somewhere around 2014 was cleared again. So during this period of time between 2007 and 2018, we did not experience any major flooding issues on our property despite the clearing twice of this property and significant rains such as Hurricane Sandy and some nor'easters. However, over the past 2 years, we have significant flooding issues on our property. And I don't know if I can submit them, but if you want them, I will give them to you. I have photographs of the flooding with the dates that the photos were taken on our property.
If you would like them to be in the record, please give them to Ms. Cornwell. They'll become part of the record.
I would like them for the record. Thank you.
Okay.
I am hopeful, as Norm is, that we are able to work with Mr. Justice and develop a plan that will mitigate any flooding potentials or exacerbate any flooding issues that we've already experienced. Some of my specific questions, though, that I have is that I believe it's on drawing CZ1 and CZ2, the sketch plan. Just as this shows, it does not show a forested buffer. But when I went to the wetlands map as part of the wetlands impact, it does show forest there. So I guess my question was whether or not there was going to be a forested buffer there or not. On the wetlands map, it showed that it was. On page 96 in the compliance with the subdivision ordinance 99C1, it states that all adjacent properties are buffered by 20-foot wide areas in common open space where existing woods are to remain or buffeted or forested buffers are to be planted where none exist. Regarding the road ending so close to our property line, I'm not sure because I don't see it on these drawings, and maybe someone here can help explain that to me, but I know that the road comes down from a high point on the property down to, and that road will end by lot 15, one of the lowest parts of the property. It's a dead-end road. I know there's going to be curbing and guttering along both sides of the road, but what's going to go across the bottom of that road, the width of the road, to stop that water from flowing further into our property? So that's a question that I have. Lastly, in the proposed findings of facts and conditions for the change of zone 1900, it states in item 11 pertaining to section 99.9c of the subdivision ordinance, objectionable features such as dry storm water management ponds and homes adjacent to neighboring properties will be minimized by the inclusion of forest buffers around the perimeter of the proposed dwelling lots. I consider the road ending close to our property as an objectionable feature and would like consideration of a buffer to be added to curtail our view of a roadway. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Christenberry, I'm going to invite you back up, if you would. I'm kind of hoping you made note of the gentleman's questions.
Sure did.
Now it's going to be your opportunity to answer. You would, please.
Okay. The distance from the end of this road to the outside perimeter of the property is 20 feet. We believe, because of the existing ditch here, that if there were a cooperative agreement reached, that improving this ditch would be a benefit to both the existing residents in Silver Woods and to our property. We left this forest buffer in this place here. The actual trees that are standing today, for instance, in this location here, it's about 90 feet from the property line to the edge of the existing woods line. So a lot of this existing forest is to remain. In this location, the ditch does appear as though there's kind of a slight ditch there. You're at a point where trying to survey it, you're looking for a ditch that's been so long neglected. Where it was may not be nearly as important as where you want it. If we do no ditch work here, those trees would stay, and all of our impervious runoff, as you are well aware, is going to be captured and carried by curb and gutter and pipe and run through our stormwater pond and drained out to here. But he is right that this road, these areas may be higher than his, so the only way we can enhance the drainage is to dig a ditch. So where we would normally have a forest buffer, we're proposing a ditch because we do think it would actually benefit the neighboring property owners. There's a question there of what is truly best, and I think a further conversation between Mr. Justice and I and the neighbors on the property, and ideally when it's actually raining, would probably be beneficial, because again, my own opinion as an engineer is that a ditch near the property line would actually be the best solution. But the wetland impact permits don't actually show anything up there. They only address the ditch between us and Plantation Park because the regulated wetland areas are only on this southern property line down in here. That's the extent of what's regulated wetlands. This other ditch work wouldn't require a federal permit because those ditches are not under federal jurisdiction.
Okay.
So it's, you know, we're kind of open to making an improvement to the drainage, or you can leave the forest buffer that's there intact and not improve the drainage, but I don't know how you get both. We did leave some areas where we're showing woods that would remain throughout the development of the project in here, and we could, if the drainage improvements were to proceed all the way up to here, a privacy fence might be a good solution, or we could leave that forest buffer intact in there and just say kind of good luck with the drainage. I don't know how you get both.
Well, the soil conservation folks are not going to let you drain your water onto your neighbor.
No, this is going to be pulled back to our pond. Everything that we develop will be...
You're going to have to take care of your own stormwater.
Yes.
And
if we improve the existing ditch, which is lower than our road, we may enhance drainage, but I don't know that we can enhance drainage and leave all the trees standing. So that's the difficulty, right, in that particular location.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell, the commission does have the ability to establish buffers, right?
Correct.
And especially under the RPC.
Correct.
We can establish a buffer width, and we can also decide what is allowed and not allowed in the buffer. Is it?
Correct, because as the RPC would follow under the subdivision regulations, you have the ability to provide flexibility within what is required in that buffer. The minimum is 20 feet, but you can allow for reductions in certain areas, right, and recognize certain things, or you can increase the buffer width.
Right. And I'm not an engineer, but I know you are, Mr. Christenberry, and I'm sure that there's a way to do a buffer and a ditch together if you have enough room to do it. So I think there's a solution to this problem. We just have to find it. So okay. Have we answered everything? One trip to a customer, sir, I'm sorry. You'll have to get somebody else to answer your question. Yes, sir, come on up. Ask your question.
Put my two cents in, if I might.
You sure can.
All right. My name's Eric Farrell. Bought vacation getaway home on Carolina Drive, yep, and my property is on the southwest corner of this project. Okay. I can tell you, you know, my concerns were eloquently stated by my neighbors earlier. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but I just want to reiterate.
Okay.
Lest you think there isn't a flooding problem, I assure you there is. You can stand at the back of my property. I'm not an engineer, but I have eyes, and I can see that this thing slopes up. And when it rains, the water comes down, and my backyard floods. Now, present state, if you covered all that property with concrete and blacktop, my property will become a worthless swamp, and that's my fear, that's my concern.
Well, and I appreciate that concern, and I understand it. And one of the strange vagaries of land use and development is that the great irony is that the way your problem gets fixed is that property gets developed.
Because I'm not opposed to the development.
Yeah, no, and I'm not arguing for
development.
I'm not arguing for it at all. I'm not at all convinced yet that it should happen, but I'm just saying to you that if it is developed, they will absolutely be required to retain all of their water runoff on their property and convey it elsewhere in a way that does not disturb you.
That's what I want to hear.
The irony is that's not necessarily the way it works right now with an empty piece of land. Right now we have an empty piece of land. It has been said that the owner changed the elevation by putting additional fill on the property. To my knowledge, there's no law against doing that. It was his property. I think he probably
sure
did what he was allowed to do. Unfortunately, it has created a bad situation for the neighbors. But if this is developed, And I can tell you that this commission is very sensitive to this issue because that area of the world, not just that development, not just yours, but that whole area there in that part of the county has a lot of drainage issues. We know this. So we're sensitive to that idea. And that's why I'm asking the questions and making sure that we have the ability to put conditions in place to make sure that you don't have that problem.
Well, that's perfect. I mean, that's what I want to hear.
That's what we would try to do if we decide that this is a good thing to do.
I know we had tried to address this a year or so ago, whatever. Right. And I think the answer was proposed that we dig a drainage ditch on our property and he would actually pay for it. I think that's what was discussed. But that would mean tearing out my shed, all my trees, and losing a good part of my property. Whereas if it's across that property line, is what you're talking about now, that's certainly a better solution for me. The only other thing I would question is, once this water gets out to Parker House, it's probably going to sit there too. So, I mean, that's something that, because it does now. I mean,
that's up to the applicant and his engineer to figure out.
Okay.
They have to figure that out, and if they can't figure it out, then just
wanted to make sure that you're aware that it's also a concern of mine. Not opposed to the development.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you sharing your concern with us. And please be assured that we're aware of it. We know it's a problem in that area.
Okay. Now, one other quick little thing.
Sure.
I mean, I only have this place 3 years. I've already had to replace my original well. Mm-hmm. My neighbor had to replace her well. Where is that exactly? Is this their water coming from? I'm not quite sure on that. If somebody can answer that,
I'll get a clarification.
Thank you,
Mr. Christianberry. Would you describe that?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to solve. It's not going to necessarily make it easy to get central water to where he lives. Tidewater has a main north of us here at Kensington Park, so we're going to have to run it down the right of way of Parker House Road to get it to our frontage. I mean, we could stub out something to a property line if this community wanted to become part of Tidewater's
I'm more
service area.
What your proposed water system is going to be?
It's going to be a connection to Tidewater's existing infrastructure.
So you're connecting. You're going to have a public water. You
Correct.
Have wells.
Correct.
So this development should have no impact on the surrounding wells from a drawdown point of view or anything.
Correct.
Like that. But you did mention something that that could be important to your neighbors. If you would be willing to work with them, work with Tidewater to at least allow a stub through your property for anyone. You guys could do.
The question would be if Plantation Park, widespread wants to connect to central water. Yeah. And I think in existing communities, that's a little challenging to figure out. But as far as getting a stub to the property line, we could certainly
try to help
accommodate that. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any further questions? No. All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. Our next public hearing is